You're listening to a sermon from Redeemer Church in Omaha, Nebraska. For more information on Redeemer, visit RedeemerOmaha.org.
So you can grab your Bibles, and what we're doing right now, so if you're new or haven't been here in the past couple of weeks, actually, if you haven't been here this year, maybe that's not as bad as it normally sounds. But yeah, if you haven't been here in the last couple of weeks, we're going through something we're calling the New Testament Challenge. And so what that is we're challenging everybody to read through the New Testament in 13 weeks. So that works out to, we're asking you to read 5 days a week, 4 chapters a day. And so just kind of read each day and kind of write down some things that maybe God is showing you. And then, so what we're doing with that is everybody's reading that individually. But then as groups, many people are meeting together in groups, and they're kind of discussing what all they have seen that week and kind of discussing through that. And then on Sunday, I'm just kind of preaching a sermon based on something that was a theme kind of from the reading for that week. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing today. And so if you have not started the New Testament Challenge, it's not too late. And so I know as of this morning, I think we had 10 or 11 books that were still left back here. And just so you know, I said this last week, the book, there's nothing special about it except, well, there is a lot special about it, but it's the Bible. And so like, it doesn't have to be this particular book. So if there's not one back there, you can just pick up your Bible. And then we've got some bookmarks that will tell you what chapters to read along. And so you can start and read with us. So we'll be starting, let's see, this week we're finishing up Acts. So we'll be finishing up the book of Acts. So just pick up on week 3 and you can just read right along with us. I would encourage you to do that. I have heard a lot of people that have really been getting a lot out of it. I know I've been getting a lot out personally, and then met with lots of groups and people that are just really enjoying it. So I'd encourage you again to get on board with that and just kind of, you know, jump in wherever you're at and just follow through. And then, you know, if you want to make up the weeks you missed on the end, that's great too. But we want to encourage you to be a part of that. How about, does anybody have anything that God has said to you this week as we've been reading through the New Testament? People are like, man, he like said stuff, but I ain't standing up and saying nothing. So, anybody got anything? Surprise. That's right, that's right. Yeah, yeah, cool. So Jan, I don't know if everybody could hear that, but Jan said Acts 1, she just realized for the first time that she'd always thought the disciples picked who was going to replace Judas, but she saw that actually they were saying, God, you show us who you want us to have as a replacement. Yeah, Julie. Okay, yeah. Okay, what did Peter say? Okay, gotcha. All right, kind of like in Jesus, right? We'll sum it up. How about somebody else? Anybody else have anything that God showed you this week? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So like in the early church, first church, there was nobody that was in need. And the reason there was nobody in need, it wasn't because they were all rich. It was because they took what they had and they used it to meet the needs of the people that were in the congregation there that were gathered. Yeah, that's cool. Anybody else? Okay. Could you guys hear that in the back? All right. I won't repeat it then. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to fix what Jared said. No, I'm just kidding. He usually fixes what I say. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about some of the stuff. Some of the stuff that I saw this week. Here's kind of the big idea for this morning, and these are just going to be kind of walking through and tying together some just stuff that, you know, as you read through, one of the things that you'll notice is when you're reading a lot of scripture, it may not just be like a specific verse, but it might be a theme that runs through all of those 20 chapters, okay? So you're reading a lot more, maybe than some of you are reading a lot more than you ever have in 1 week. And so what you'll see is as you're reading that, then there's lots of stuff that maybe just, you're like, oh, I read something like that before, and it all kind of stands out, and you kind of connect it. So a couple of things that stood out to me this week. The big idea is this, that if we obey God's ways and depend on God's power, God's people multiply. If we obey God's ways and depend on God's power, then God's people multiply. And so just a couple of quick thoughts on that. One was, you can see there in the notes, that loving obedience means following Jesus one step at a time. And maybe more particularly what I mean by that is this. What I've always desired in terms of following Jesus, and you probably are the same way, what I've always desired is that Jesus would give me multiple steps, if not the whole thing, right? So like what I would like to do is I would like to know the whole pattern. I would like to know all the questions that I have. I would like to have those things answered up front and then, you know, and then start. Or I would like for him to show me the whole path. But what I have learned in my own experience and then what I saw in the scriptures this week is that oftentimes what Jesus does is he says, do this. And it's one step. And he doesn't say anything about what comes after that until I take the one step. And then usually when I take the one step, then he shows up and he says, now take this one. And then I take that one, and then there's this one, and I take that one. And so it's a progression of following Jesus step by step, okay? So one of the main things that I tell you guys all the time is that you need to be hearing, you know, God speak to you through the word, and then taking your next step to obey Jesus, right? And so we see that stand out a lot here in the New Testament. Like, here's a few examples just from the reading for this week. It started off in Matthew chapter 21. Okay, so this was the first chapter we read this week. And I noticed that it said this. This is when Jesus is getting ready to have the triumphal entry. He's going to go into Jerusalem shortly before he's crucified. And so he says to the disciples to go into the city, and that you're going to find a donkey and a colt tied up, and I want you to get them and bring them to me. Okay? So basically, I want you to go in, and I want you to take somebody's donkey and colt and then walk back here and bring them to me. Okay? So, if you don't know any better, it sounds a lot like Jesus is saying, like, I want you to jack somebody's donkey and colt. Okay? And so so he tells them, go in and do that. And it says this in Matthew 21, verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. Now, what do you think they found out when they did that? When they obeyed what Jesus had said? They went in and they found out that it had all been prepared already. Right? And so they took the donkey, the colt, they bring it back, and they understand, you know, man, this is exactly what God had planned all along. But they didn't know that to begin with. They didn't know that, you know, God was already at work in this until they took a step to do what Jesus had asked them to do. And so we see this happen all the time in the scriptures, that God will give us a step. And then he wants to see us take the step, and then he will give us the next step to take. And he will unfold what he wants to have happen one step at a time. Here's another thing that you can often see. If God gives more than one step, if God gives a lot of detail, it's because ain't nobody wants to do what he just said to do. Okay? Like, there's, you know, you don't want to take all of those steps. You don't want to do all of those things. For example, an example would be Moses, right? So he spends a lot of time talking to Moses as Moses is asking questions. And the reason for that is because what he's saying is, Moses, I want you, and maybe in today's terms, okay? He would be saying, like, Moses, I want you to go to North Korea. And I want you to tell that dude with the funny haircut that he is going to let my people go, right? And you're like, dude, that would be dumb. I mean, like, you know, that would be exactly. And so Moses is like, God, that seems less than wise. And so he gives him more. And so there will be times, we saw actually in our reading, there was a guy named Ananias. And so Saul had been blinded by Jesus, and he had gone into the city, and God comes to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I want you to go to Saul, and I want you to do, you know, tell him what I've told you, and baptize him, and do all these things. And Ananias is like, but Jesus, I'm not really sure if you're aware of this or not, but he's been killing us. Like, he's got authority, he's been dragging people out, they've been put to death, he's been throwing them in jail, and you want me to go to talk to him? And Jesus actually talks to him a little bit more, gives him a little bit more direction, right? And so this is that's a very challenging situation. And so God gives a little bit more detail. But for most of us, it's and most of the time, it's just, here's one step. I want you to take a step. So that's what he says to the disciples. Go get the donkey and the colt. And they go and do it. And when they go and do it, then they understand that God is at work. They get to experience the fact that God is already working. But you know what? If they had just stayed by Jesus' side and said, nah, Jesus ain't going to do it, not going to do it, they would have never understood all that God was doing around them, all that God was planning to do, all that he had planned and was working out. They'd never see that. They would never have experienced it. And so that's what God does for us. He gives us one step at a time. Another example of that is this. After Jesus is resurrected, the angels... The angel says to the women, tell the disciples to go to Jerusalem, meet him there. And then Jesus sees them. And here's what he tells them. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, this is not exactly what Jesus meant by that, but it kind of gives that idea. When we do what Jesus says, then when we get there, when we take that step, then Jesus meets us there, and he shows us the next step. And that's what he did with the disciples. He says, I want you to go to Galilee, and then I'm going to meet you there. You will see me there. So they go to Galilee, and guess what happens? They see Jesus there, right? He says, also, in Acts chapter 1, they are talking, and they want to know God's plan, right? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said to them, they had asked, Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom of God? And he says to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Shortly before that, Jesus has said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want you to go and I want you to wait. So go to Jerusalem and then stay there. Wait there until the Holy Spirit comes. Now he says, you know what, guys, it's not for you to know everything that God is doing. You couldn't understand all that God was doing if he told you, but that's not your place is to know all those things. But instead, your place is to go and to do the things that God has laid before you. Here's another just example of that. So Saul, I've referenced this already a little bit, but Saul is a man who is persecuting all the believers, okay? He was a Jewish religious leader, and so he was zealous. He thought that they were leading people astray from God, and so he goes, and he's got authority from all the other religious leaders, and he's going, he's taking people captive, he's throwing them in prison, he's putting them to death, and he is on his way to Damascus to persecute more believers, and Jesus shows up to him, blinds him, and then tells him, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, and this is what he gives him for the next step. Okay? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do. Right? So what is Saul supposed to do? This is Saul who's going to become Paul. What's he supposed to do? What's his next step? Get up, go to the city. Right? But what after that? What happens after that? Then you'll be told what you're to do, right? So I'm not going to tell you now, but you rise, you go into the city, and then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to reveal to you what you need to do. And he does. He sends Ananias, and Ananias begins to tell him what he's going to do. One of the things I find is interesting is, I think it's in one of his other testimonies, he says that Jesus says, you know, I'm going to show, or tells Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name, right? And so sometimes the next thing he tells you isn't the best thing for you in your mind. But he says, get up and go into the city, right? And then I'm going to tell you what comes next. So loving obedience means that you are going to take the next step, whatever that means. whatever it is that God shows you to do. And listen, it does not guarantee that the next step is going to produce the results that you expect. Okay? So, for example, I had last week a next step for me. I was doing a training on how to share your faith with some pastors and lay people out in the Sand Hills. And so one of the tools that we teach here, you guys know about this, is the prayer map. And so we'll draw a circle and we'll put ourselves in the middle, and then we'll draw circles all around it, and we'll say, I want you to write in the names of people who are far from God but close to you. And so I always say, think about your family. Okay? So who in your family is far from God but close to you? And so I will write in a name. And I have one particular name that I write in every time that I do it. The first time that I did it, it was there, and every time since then, it's been there. And there's been some things that I have done to talk to that individual, but when I wrote that in the Sand Hills, when I wrote it, I mean, it was just like, it felt a stronger urge than normal, okay? So I wrote it down. I said, I've got to talk to that person, okay? I went, and on last Sunday night, I was sharing that, and I shared it, and Dylan actually said, you know what, I would encourage you to act on that, because there was somebody in my family that God was encouraging me to talk to like that. And so the night before I was supposed to go to talk to him, they actually died. And he wouldn't say that was a big dramatic thing, but he was saying, you know, I think you should act on that. You know, on Saturday, I was thinking about it. It was on the snow day, Thursday, I think it was. I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I need to call. I haven't called all week. I need to call. And I thought, you know, I'm going to just check Twitter. I'm just going to check Twitter. Like, you know, I was just trying to put it off again. So I pull up Twitter, and I'm looking through Twitter, and there's a pastor, and he says, go ahead and act on that hunch. That was what he posted. And I'm like, really? So call him up. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, this must be really good with all the stuff that God's laying up. No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either. I mean, I began to talk to him about spiritual things. They weren't really all that interested at the time, but the door's open. Maybe we'll get to talk again later. So, you know, that was an example of, you know what? God gave me a step to take, and I took the step. And it didn't turn out the way that I expected or anticipated or was praying for or wanted, but it was a step. And you know what? It's not the last step. I don't even know where that journey is going to end, but it's an example of, you know, we're just taking a step, okay? That also hopefully illustrates to you what I mean by taking a step, how you know maybe a next step is there will be something that as you're reading, maybe there will be something that you just feel like is something that you need to do. It might be make a phone call. It might be send a text. It might be check in with somebody. It might be take a meal to somebody. It might be walk across the street and introduce you to someone, introduce yourself to the new neighbor, or like it could be any number of things that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? Okay, so you go, I don't know if this is actually the Holy Spirit saying to do that. I don't know if this is actually God telling me to do this or not. Well, let me just ask you a question. If you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're asking God to speak to you, you're asking him to show you, and you have a thought that is not wrong, okay? So like if you're doing that and all of a sudden you have a thought, you know, like I need to rob a bank, okay? No. All right? Because, you know, God says, don't steal, okay? So that's not God speaking because that is against something that God says. But all of those examples that I've mentioned, you know, there's nothing there that is in conflict with what God is saying. So act on it. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Might be a little bit awkward, you know, whatever. But, I mean, go introduce yourself to your new neighbor. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're a serial killer. Well, they're a serial killer anyway, right? So now you just know that and you can lock your doors, okay? So, like, I mean, there's nothing bad going to happen. So take the next step and Jesus will meet you there. Here's the other thing. Loving obedience means following the general directions given in the Word and the specific applications given by the Spirit. That's kind of what I've been illustrating there for you, okay? We have some general directions that we're going to follow. There's some general things that we know that we're supposed to be doing. And so as we're walking and going about our day and we have an inclination to do one of those things, then go ahead and act on it. Because many of the times what's happening is the Spirit is giving you an application for something that's generally given in the Word, and that's something that he wants you to do. So let me give you a couple of general things These are just big blanket, general umbrella things that Jesus has said for us to do. And we saw those in our reading this week. So Matthew 22, somebody comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Right? And you probably know this. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So what is something generally that all followers of Jesus are supposed to do? Love God. And so if there is something that comes to your mind that you think you need to do that's going to relate to loving God, then go ahead and do that. Like, go ahead and step in that direction. Take that step, right? Here's the second thing that he says. Verse 39, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what's a second thing that God wants all followers of Jesus to do? Love others. Yeah, right. So we're to love God and we're to love others. And then notice what he says, on these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Okay, so what he means by that is if you take all of the Old Testament, and there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, and if you boiled it all down, then the two things that would be left, the first would be love God, and the second would be love others. And so we are to live our lives walking among, you know, other people, living our lives out wherever we go. And as we are going, then God is saying, love me and love them. Love God, love others. And so as you're walking about your day, going about your day, and you have an inclination to take a step in response to loving God, take that step. Right? Because that's in line with something God's wanting you to do. What about if you see an opportunity or you think you have an inclination? You know what? I want to do something that would be loving toward others. What should you do? You should take that step. Make that phone call. Send that text. Sit down and listen to somebody. Listen to their story. Do, you know, give assistance to somebody, whatever. But take that step, okay? The Spirit will give us the Spirit will give us specific urges or inclinations to follow him. And so that would be underneath those larger things. Here's the third thing. A third thing is found in Matthew chapter 28. And we talk about it a lot. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Jesus says this, the last instruction he gave to the disciples. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see what we're saying there about we take a step to follow Jesus and Jesus will meet us there? Do you see that's what he says? He says, when you go and you make disciples, that I am with you as you do that, as we take steps to obey him in that, then he is walking with us to do that. And so then people, I actually had somebody, one of my groups said they've been talking to somebody this week. And that person said, I'm more about, you know, like love God and love others. I'm not really all that much about the make disciples part. You know, I mean, I'm just more of a love God and love others kind of person. And so they replied to them and said, well, if you love somebody, what's the greatest thing that you can do for them? Is to share the gospel with them, tell them what Jesus has done for you, and then teach them how to follow Jesus. Right? So, I mean, like making disciples is an expression of love, both for God and for others. It's love for God because God says, this is what I want you to do. I've shaped you like this. I've made you like this. This is what I want you to do. And so we're loving God as we're obeying him, lovingly obeying him, and it's taking steps to make disciples. And also it's loving other people because guys, listen, what we believe is that Jesus has given us through his death and resurrection on our behalf, that he has given us entrance into the life that we all desire. And there's no better life than that. There's no better way to live than that. And Jesus has taught us how to enter that. And so we are loving others when we help them to experience that life. Another way that I would put it, the way that I would respond to that question is this, or that statement is, well, when we're making disciples, all we're doing is teaching people to love God and love others. That's what we're doing. That's all that is. It's teaching people to obey Jesus, right? And so teaching them to love God and love others. So those are general statements. general ideas, principles that God wants us to do. That's not all of them, but that is some like the big major catch-all things that God is calling us to do. And so then the Spirit will take that, and knowing that you're to love God, love others, and make disciples. Okay? If you just have those three as your guiding principles, God says all believers everywhere, all of us, should love God, love others, and make disciples. Then as I go about my day, the Spirit will give me specific inclinations or urges related to those things about steps that I can take. So it might be, you know, pray for that person. It might be call that person, whatever, but you're taking that step. And then many times what you're going to do, you're just take that step to see what the Spirit is doing and how the Spirit is working there in that situation. That's what the disciples did and the early followers of Jesus, the early church, what they did. Because really, what you're reading in Acts, did you catch what was happening? In Acts, you just see Peter and John and the disciples and the early followers of Jesus. All you see them doing is just walking and going about their day. And along the way, there would be something that happened, and they would be guided by the Spirit to take a step of obedience. So Peter, and I believe it's Peter and John, are walking toward the temple. And they see the beggar that's there who's blind, and he's calling out for a gift. And Peter says, "Look at me." I guess he was lame, not blind. And so, because it would have been weird if he said, "Look at me," and he was blind until he healed him. But anyway, whatever. I digress. So he's lame, and he's saying, you know, "Can you give me some money?" And Peter says, "Look at me." And he says, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." Right? And so he heals him. Okay, but it's just a guy that he happened to bump into as he's walking along. We see that over and over again. In fact, there's a verse, and I didn't put it in our notes, but I believe it's like in Acts chapter 9 or somewhere in there. It says it's somewhere over in there that it says that Peter was going about, and it sounds almost like Peter was just kind of walking from place to place, just kind of going somewhere, and then like, you know, he would bump into somebody that was in need, and he would heal them, or he would stop at this house and they would welcome him in, and so he would stop there. And it seems like he's just kind of bebopping along throughout the area, all the cities, and then wherever something opened up, then Peter would stop and he would listen to the Spirit and he would act on that. Okay, and so we see that just kind of lived out in the lives of the early church. So we have to take a step, and then Jesus will show us the next step. We focus on these big ideas, these general principles that God has given us, but then we listen for the Spirit and take the step that the Spirit is giving us in terms of an application of those bigger things. And then here's the last thing. When we do that, loving obedience multiplies God's word and God's work. And so I just want to read to you several passages here that we just see as God's people took a step to obey Jesus, then we see that things begin to happen and things begin to work. And in fact, we see that the church multiplies and we see that it's growing greatly. So the first of those is Acts chapter 2. Okay, Larry mentioned this earlier as something that stood out to her. And so in Acts chapter 2, we see the first church there gathered, and it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So there's a gathering of people that are following Jesus. They're obeying him. They're loving God. They're loving others. They're making disciples. They're following the commands of Jesus. And every day, there are just people that are hearing about Jesus and responding to that. Every day, they're responding. Okay? Acts chapter 5, it says this. It's talking about, I believe, Acts chapter 5 is, I believe that's where they select the first deacons. And sorry, I just had my mind went blank. But in Acts chapter 5, it says the end of that, as they're doing what God wants them to do, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord." Like, did you get that? "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord." Like, the first day, there's 3,000, and later than that, there's like 5,000. So, like, I mean, there's thousands of people. It says day by day they're being saved, and then it comes in Acts chapter 5, and it says multitudes, more than ever before, multitudes of both men and women are being added to the Lord. It goes on in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, it says, and the word of God continued to increase. The word of God, right? So they're living according to the word. They're talking about the word. They're sharing that. And it says the word is continuing to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Right? So God's people, they're taking the next step. They're listening to the Spirit. They're following his application of what God's telling them to do. And there's just multiplication taking place. More and more and more being added. Acts chapter 9. It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Right? Acts chapter 12. Here's kind of a contrast. In Acts chapter 12, the king, Herod, is coming out, and he is, I believe it's Herod, is coming out, and man, I don't know what, I need to get more sleep or something. Herod's coming out, and he's speaking, and he gives a speech, and it says, the people were shouting, the voice of God and not a man. The voice of God and not a man. And the king wouldn't humble himself about that. You know, he's kind of receiving that praise. The voice of God and not a man. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. What? How about that for your tombstone? Right? The Lord struck you down because you didn't give him glory, and you were eaten with worms and breathed your last. But I was reading that this morning as I was putting that together. And I began to think about the state of the American church. And I began to think about how many churches we have that maybe this particular phrase is not used, but the idea is the voice of God and not of a man. And we have tried to take a man and equate him with the voice of God. And it doesn't work out so well. But what does it say? So it's saying, you know, if we're going to receive the glory for what God is doing for ourselves, it's not going to go well. But if we're going to humble ourselves and take the next step, follow the Spirit's inclination and leading, then God is going to multiply his work. And notice what it says, in contrast to King. Verse 24, but the word of God did what? It increased and it multiplied. And so guys, I want to encourage you. You know, like what I would love is that we would just be a gathering of people that, like Matthew 21:6, it says, they went and did as Jesus directed them. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, my desire isn't that you would go and do what I tell you to do. My desire is that you would listen to Jesus. And when he tells you something to do, that you would go and you would do as Jesus directs you. So, a strange application of that maybe for you would be that, I don't want to have a gathering of people that do like I say and don't do like I do. You probably read about some people that were like that, that Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. But what I want to do is I want to have a gathering of people that are going to do what I say and do what I do. And so it's a lot easier some other times. As we've talked about what Jesus wants us to do, the step Jesus wants us to take, something that's been clear for a couple of years now is that Jesus wanted us to pursue making disciples, that Jesus wanted us to follow in his steps, do exactly what he did, and trust him to give the multiplication and to give the growth. And that has been something that's been a passion, has been a draw for us for a couple of years, just feeling like, Jesus has been pulling in that way. And I've always been kind of saying, like, okay, Jesus, I'll do that when you show me what happens after that. And we kind of got to the point where Jesus said, you know what? I'm not telling you what comes after that. I'm telling you what I want you to do. And so in October, for me, that looked like I was sitting with Joe and Jared and Carl in our elder meeting. We were talking, and we've been revisiting this over and over and over for the last several years. And I finally told them, you know, guys, I'm at the point where I know what I'm supposed to do. And for me to not do that is disobedience. And so I need to take the next step to follow Jesus. And so for me, the next step to follow Jesus is to step away from being pastor at Redeemer. And that is to step into, again, doing exactly what Paul has modeled for us to do. And so you can actually see this as you're reading. We can talk about it some more. I can talk about it with you later or whatever. But one thing you'll see as you read through Acts is that it's really clear that Paul does something. He makes a choice. And he says, I'm going to take a job, and I'm going to work with my hands to provide for myself and for the needs of my team. And I'm going to do that so that I can look at everybody and I can say, imitate me. Do what I'm doing. And so this is a very short explanation of some very long things that Jesus has been taking us through between October and now. But I will be resigning as pastor here at Redeemer. I'm actually going to take a job at McAllister's Deli doing catering for them and working a job. And working that job alongside of Dylan. Dylan is also somebody who's doing the same thing and said, you know, we want to make disciples. We want to multiply disciples across the state of Nebraska and in this region. And so we're kind of taking the goal of saying, like, what would it take for us to start a simple church in every community in the state of Nebraska in the next 3 years? And there's biblical warrant for that, so that's why we're using that as a goal, but we're kind of looking at that. And so so this morning, my next step is that I'm stepping to do that. I mentioned to you earlier that I called somebody in my family and was talking to them. The next step was I thought that I was going to share the gospel with them, and I thought that they would fall to their knees and receive Jesus. But actually, it was kind of a long story, but that kind of came out, this decision kind of came out with them. And they said, you know, here's what I want to say to you. I want to encourage you to think about this not as a step down, but as a step up. Because he said, I have known many people that were ministers and worked full-time jobs throughout my time, and I've always had great respect for them. And I think there's lots of people that are going to view you completely differently when you come to them from this angle as coming to them from a different angle. That was one of the many confirmations God's given this week. So anyway, we've tried to get that word out through groups and things this week, and so some of you have been aware, but, you know, I'm sorry if we couldn't get to you and let you know ahead of time, but kind of going on right now. We did not announce that, made that decision in October. We didn't announce that until now, mainly because I was out of the country in November, and then we had the holidays and all that, so we decided to wait till now. But we've had some time to kind of work on it. And so I will speak briefly, though, just what comes next, because what comes next isn't really up to me. But our bylaws say that the elders will appoint a team of 7 individuals that will be like a pastor search team, and their task, their job, is to select a candidate to bring to the church. And then they will come, and you'll have an opportunity to meet them and talk with them, hear them preach, and then the members of the church will vote to call the next pastor. And so I tell you what, Joe, why don't you come on up? So Joe Fala is one of our elders. And so, Joe, would you just kind of introduce the team and let everybody know who they are, and then pray for us, and then we'll worship.
So you make your announcement, then you want me to follow it?
Yes.
Awesome. Love you, brother. from all of us, thank you. Thank you for being an obedient follower of Jesus and for setting an example for us. We've spent some time praying through a team that kind of would basically represent who Redeemer is. And so after some prayer and thought, we have seven people. So they are myself, Jaron, Carl Bartenhagen, Fred Davis, Kathy Keppel, Amanda Hansen, and Jan Weil. We've been meeting. We've met a couple times now. We're going to kind of continue meeting as we work through the process and Lee didn't get this far into it, but he's still going to be around for a little while, so don't feel like you have to say goodbye to him this morning. He probably, actually, you know what, dude, just, no, I'm just kidding. No, he's still going to be around for a little while, and as he is, we'll be able to kind of continue working through the process as a search team, and so, you know, don't necessarily have a timetable of this is when we're going to be bringing someone to you, but would encourage you to just be in prayer for Lee and his next step, be in prayer would certainly covet your prayers as a search team, helping us as we're just kind of seeking the Lord's will on what our next step is as what where God wants to take us next as a church body. So please be in prayer for us. We will, Jared and Lee and myself will all kind of be hanging around here at the end of service. So if you have any questions or anything, we'll be around. We'll be sharing more details with you guys kind of as the process unfolds. But for right now, why don't I just pray and then we'll close and go from there. Father, Lord, I thank you for, God, for being the God who knows the big picture, for being the God who prompts us to take that next step, and God, for being the one who, when we do, protects us so that we don't just fall on our face. God, I thank you that, God, I thank you for Lee and for, again, as I said, Lord, his example of being someone who's willing to take that next step. Even when he didn't know what that next step was going to look like, didn't know what he would do to, you know, feed his family, didn't know what he would do, just knew that you had called him. God, I thank you for a man of such faith and what he's done to lead this church body for the last 10 years. God, I pray for, God, for just the people in this room, God, that you would help us. God, as we look today at what it means to take our next step, God, that we would just use as Lee's example, just God, we can be bold, we can do great things, because as long as we're following what you desire, God, you're never going to fail us, you're never going to lead us astray. So God, may we be bold this week. It's in your name I pray. Amen.